Renee Washington, and you're listening to the Sports Wrap.
Sports Wrap.
New breed on the beat.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining me for another episode of the Sports Wrap. I'm your host, Renee Washington, and welcome back to episode 6. I cannot believe we are already on episode 6. It seems like we just got this journey started right around Valentine's Day, just about a month ago. Well, we have a full lineup of sports topics to get into today. We have Brian Waters joining us, host of Break It Down with Brian H., as we get into baseball, the NBA playoffs, and since WrestleMania is coming up, WWE, and then later you get to meet the man behind the music. New Breed Nye has closed out our show for the last 5 weeks, and it's time that you get to know who Nyrick Evans is as a rapper, actor, and basketball player. So it's a full lineup, and I hope you are comfortable. If not, sit back, relax, and let's get into the Sports Wrap. This week on the Sports Wrap, we're going to go a little different route, getting back into some baseball, also wrestling for the first time on the Sports Wrap. I've got a guest here that'll help us break down the WWE and then getting into the NBA playoffs, Brian Waters, host of Break It Down with Brian H. Brian, welcome to the Sports Wrap.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It's an honor and pleasure to finally be able to be on this great show. I'm used to hear you. While I'm driving in the car, so to actually be talking to you in person is an honor.
Well, I thank you. I'm glad to hear that you watch and listening, I should say, every week. And as you know, we talked about Mike Trout in the past when we were getting into the Phillies and Bryce Harper and discussions of Mike Trout possibly joining the Phillies in the future, as Bryce Harper has been openly saying that he would love to have him in Philly. Well, we also know Mike Trout, just inked a 12-year deal worth more than $430 million to Ching Ching with the Angels, so it doesn't look like he's going anywhere anytime soon. What are your thoughts on this no opt-out contract that he just signed? The deal might not be officially done yet, but it's pretty much done.
I mean, he's 27 years old, and he's going to remain with the team until he's 39. This isn't something that's new for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I'm old enough to know, I'm 32. I'm almost calling the California Angels, if you remember the movie Angels in the Outfield. Then they had a small stint where they had blue uniforms where they were the Anaheim Angels. Then they became the Los Angeles Angels. Now I think they are officially the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I know, right? But, Renee, I remember when a few years ago, they signed Albert Pujols, fresh off a World Series championship run with the St. Louis Cardinals. They signed him to a 10-year deal, and he was 31. And I thought that was crazy. I'm like, wow, you know. But Mike Trout, to me, when I really look at his body of work, Mike Trout's the best player in baseball. He is, he's laid back. You know, a lot of people may not know about him because he's not big rah-rah guy like a Bryce Harper. He's not a bad boy like a Manny Machado or Alex Rodriguez was. And I'm a Manny Machado fan. I'm a diehard Orioles fan. I was hurt. I was hurt that they traded him because I thought that was a deal that should have been done when, as soon as Manny came off a knee surgery, you had the leverage and you could have signed him to an extension so you wouldn't let him hit the free agent market. But and that's what the Angels did. They know what they have in Mike Trout. Obviously, you know, the guy can play the field. I was at Camden Yards when I watched him rob J.J. Hardy of a home run in center field. Then he's going to give you 40-plus home runs. He's going to give you 100-plus RBIs. And he's going to hit for over 300. So that's a, you know, what they call it, 5-2 player. I think he might not be the fastest guy, but he plays center field, so he has to have some speed, right? So right. I just think this is a great deal for him. Really happy for him. I would like to see baseball market him better. If I'm the Angels and if I'm Major League Baseball, I'm going to get my money's worth. Mike Trout is going to be all over everywhere. I'm going to get my advertising team, and I'm going to pitch him to so many sponsors that you're going to see Mike Trout everywhere the same way we used to see guys like Ken Griffey Jr., Cal Ripken.
Right.
Those same guys, we used to see, growing up, I remember seeing them everywhere, and that's what I need to see with Mike Trout. He needs to be on the cover of video games. He needs his own video game.
Just on his own video. So there's a couple of questions that come to mind from things that you're saying. And, of course, we know Bryce Harper's $330 million contract now is number two for the highest across sports, of course, behind Mike Trout's deal. He is now the highest paid athlete in sports currently. And you're saying that it's well-earned, it's well-deserved for him to have that high contract. And also, we've seen him in some commercials, the sports drink commercial where he's standing there and it's the whatever the exercise is even called, that weird commercial. So you're saying if we are baseball and we, with him getting a contract like that with the Angels, it's time to make him the face of Major League Baseball even more. I mean, we see, in my opinion, the most we see and hear about Mike Trout off the field is being at an Eagles game. You know, why don't we hear more about Mike Trout as, I don't know, what kind of music does he like? What does he do for fun besides going to Eagles games? You know, what video, you know, is he, can he be the face of a video game? Like you see with high-profile athletes in other sports. I mean, I think that's something that basketball in particular, which I know we'll get into later, that's what they do a good job of, is making their top players icons and players mm-hmm. that every young, so in this case, every young baseball player, softball player, will want to be like Mike Trout. And we don't get that enough because you don't hear much about him until he signs a huge contract like this. And now everyone's talking about Mike Trout, but why don't we hear more about him in the season, in the off season, what he's doing, how he's training, seeing more of him working out instead of that Body Armor sports drink commercial, having some great Nike commercials, you know, things like that. Like, he should be getting more and more FaceTime so that people associate baseball with Mike Trout.
Exactly. I was just, and it's funny you said Body Armor. I just had some for a dinner.
Is it good? Is it
yeah. Oh, I love it. I drink Body Armor. No, they're not paying me. But,
I'm like, hey, is this a paid endorsement right now?
Oh, if it was, you would have some. Just because.
Oh, that's good to know. That's good to know.
But, yeah, I drink it all the time. And then I drink their water, and they like my picture on Instagram.
Wow, there you go. You are officially a social influencer.
Well, I guess, you know. It's mainly because I'm a mark for Kobe Bryant, so he and his
well,
thing, so I had to try it out.
Started.
But, and then I ended up liking it, you know. And I was a mark for Shaq. Didn't care for the Shaq soda. But, you know, the thing about Mike Trout, I just remember Michael Smith and Jemele Hill, when they had their podcast, I think it was on their podcast or one of the shows, it was talking about baseball and how, you know, baseball needs to be, you know, people need to push it more. And they said, well, yeah, and the best player, Mike Trout, is boring. You know, it would be nice to see them really market him. Like, you know, if my mother doesn't watch too much sports, but if I ask her, name a basketball player, the first person she's going to say is LeBron James. If I say name a football player,
of course it goes.
Yeah, exactly. And she will probably name. She could tell you who Tom Brady is.
Right.
And she could, you know, obviously she would know some of the Ravens, but you know, if I say name a baseball player, she's not going to be able to name anybody. And that's my thing. We as sports fans and sports analysts, we know the baseball players.
Right.
Even, like, and it's hard, and I was having this conversation with somebody earlier. I really believe the steroid era hurt the game. Jose Canseco, when he said he was going to blow the thing wide open, that he did. And it's funny because steroids is what helped bring baseball popular, made it popular again. The sport started dying in the early 90s, and then all of a sudden, you know, the guys, I guess, assuming they were juicing up, with the exception of guys like Ken Griffey Jr. and Tony Gwynn and Frank Thomas. But you're sitting there, I'm like, man, like, that, you cannot act like, I remember the summer of 98. One, that was the first year the Orioles had started to take their downfall, but the summer of 98 was so magical because every Saturday baseball was on, and you had Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, and they were chasing.
Days.
Yes, they were trying to see who, you know, how many home runs they were going to hit. They was calculating how many they would hit before the All-Star break. And then when we got into September, that's when things really started revving up. And we I'll never forget watching Mark McGwire break that record, because the Cubs were playing the Cardinals, and McGwire hit a line drive that just got over the fence. Any other time, he was crushing the ball. But the home run that set the number 62nd home run, it barely got over the fence. And then you saw him kind of salute Sammy Sosa afterwards. That's the type of magic I miss. Or the
that's what made me like the sport.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I remember as a kid, it was Mark McGwire, it was Sammy Sosa. I mean, of course, it was A-Rod as you got older, and Derek Jeter and those players too. But those are the names that, like, really made you appreciate baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that we have those same personalities in the league currently that kids can want to look up to. And it's beyond just their skill and talent as a player. What really connects a pro superstar athlete with a kid is their swag. I mean, like, you look at different players like AI. What do most kids relate to him as? Having the headband, having the arm sleeve, you know, having, like, that's what they want. When they see AI, they want to be like that. You know, like, what is it about a baseball player that a kid can pick up on and want to be like? The swag, that personality, that charisma, that they want to rock their jersey number or their shoe or play like them.
Mm-hmm. And see, in Baltimore, we had Adam Jones for the past decade. Unfortunately, you know, he's gone and played for the Arizona Diamondbacks. But, you know, the Orioles had a youth movement. The Pittsburgh had Andrew McCutchen. And he even moved on, and now I think he's with the Phillies now. He kind of bounced around. But you had these different players. And, you know, let's be real, and I hope, you know, you don't put me off for saying this, but black people bring the swag. you know, and
I don't put you off to say that.
Because, I mean, you know, just make sure, trying to be nice. But black people bring the swag, you know. You think about 90s baseball, 90s and early 2000s, Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, Frank Thomas, my favorite baseball player of all time, Ken Griffey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
You had even some of the older guys like Eddie Murray. You had Kenny Lofton, Deion Sanders.
Yes.
You know, and that's when you had Gary Sheffield. He had a lot of black people. And I was at NABJ 2013. That was the first one I went to. And Gary Sheffield was on a panel there hosted by Jemele Hill. And he was talking about, you know, just baseball. And one of the things he said was, he said, you know, they'll have black people in baseball, but you won't be able to understand them. And what he was saying is they would go more into getting more Latin American guys, which is great.
Right.
But it would be nice to see baseball in some of these communities. Like, I live in Baltimore City. And then
right.
the baseball diamonds I used to play on aren't anymore. It's just grass, you know. And I think that's what takes away. But they also don't market it as well. Because I think if kids really could see the game and see, like, the swag that some of these guys have, I mean, you could come out
right.
to your own entrance music. You know, Griffey
yes,
used to come
yes.
out to Hypnotize.
Where else can you do that?
Exactly. So I wish I had
my own entrance music.
Yeah, you know, even on video games on PlayStation 3 where you could upload your music to your hard drive. Every
oh, wow.
year, I would take
aging yourself.
Huh?
I said you are aging yourself.
I said PlayStation 3. Not PlayStation. But,
I didn't say PlayStation or PlayStation 1. That's true.
Right, you know, but on PlayStation 3, you can put your own music in the hard drive. So on MLB The Show, like 08 and 09, I used to have my player come out to some Jay-Z, and it just sounded cool.
Yes, I love it. That's what's up. So what you're saying is baseball is missing that entertainment factor, and this is a perfect segue into our next topic as we get into the WWE, because we've been hearing more and more about baseball as of late, especially around Bryce Harper and Mike Trout, but it's nowhere near as popular in terms of entertainment as we see with wrestling, you know. And wrestling is something, the beefs, the whether scripted or not scripted, there's always a storyline, there's always, you know, the different wrestlers always have a way they're connecting with fans. And most recently, we have heard that there are going to be women headlining WrestleMania for the first time ever. And I know growing up, for me, when I was watching wrestling as a kid, and we talked about this before the show, and watching people like The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin and things like that, it was just the men that you always associated with wrestling. The women were always just kind of like there for, in my opinion, like the sex appeal. And they might still be to this day, whatever, but they weren't taken seriously as wrestlers. They were just there to kind of accompany the fact that there are men there. Now we are bringing in that, the sex appeal factor of having women rolling around in the ring. But now we have women headlining WrestleMania. What are your thoughts on this? Because I think for you, as someone that's a fan of wrestling and has watched it progress, you know, you can speak a lot more to this big event.
Well, I'm excited. You know, WrestleMania is a Sunday that I look forward to each and every year. I mean, it goes back, I can remember watching WrestleMania 6 with my grandfather. That was actually the last WrestleMania I was able to watch with him. You know, I've been literally watching wrestling my entire life. To see the women be able to main event the show, I love it. I look at Ronda Rousey. So there's a thing called kayfabe, right? And when you're kayfabing, that means you are watching it the way it's being presented to you, just strictly as a fan, not as somebody who knows the way things go behind the scenes. So around WrestleMania season, I like to be in full kayfabe mode. I really want to just enjoy it. When I go to, if I've been to two WrestleManias, I went to 28 in Miami and 33 in Orlando. And during that show, I don't want nobody talking to me about how it should have been booked. I want to boo who I want to boo, and I want to cheer who I want to cheer. Now, I am heavily booing Ronda Rousey. She has came out and been very disrespectful to the business, and she told Stephanie McMahon, like, I can do whatever I want because I'm your cash cow, I bring you money, and quite frankly, what can you do to stop me? And then she goes on YouTube and goes on this rant about wrestling's not even real. I mean, you know, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, I really hope Becky Lynch teaches her a lesson. Becky Lynch is somebody who, if real wrestling fans will understand, like, Becky Lynch took off in around the summertime when she, because the last year around this time, she was kind of stale. Her character had gotten a little stale. But she really took off during the summer and became a household name, and she started calling herself The Man. And it was funny because it was more of a term of endearment, like, you know, I'm the man because I can do this and I can do that. And she originally was supposed to be, according to the rumor and innuendo, it was going to be Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey. Charlotte Flair is the daughter of the great Ric Flair. And she's, while you could say there's nepotism there, Charlotte Flair is very good. She, in my opinion, is the greatest women's wrestler ever. And she hasn't even been doing it that long. But just from the way she wrestles. So you have Ronda and Becky. Becky's somebody who just kind of took off, and it was all organic, and fans just really gravitated towards her. And now they are going at it, especially because they were supposed to wrestle in November, but Becky Lynch got hurt on Monday Night Raw because somebody legitimately punched her in the face and broke her nose, so she couldn't wrestle. Like, it was literally like doing a melee or brawl, and the one girl hit her too hard, and so she couldn't wrestle. And then that allowed us to get to, you know, but it was probably a blessing in disguise because it made people like Becky Moore, because there's the iconic scene where she's in the crowd and the fans are cheering her and her face is bloody, and it's just like, wow, you know, it showed that she was the man. So, you know, but to see the women be able to do this, like I said, it's just about 5 years ago where they were having the bathroom break matches, and they wasn't getting the respect that they deserved. Yes. And because what happens is during the Attitude Era, they was very scandalous, you know, and they was pushing the edge, but you got to look at where TV in the country was at that time. You fast forward to now, I mean, you fast forward to about 10 years ago, WWE started doing things in a PG era because Vince McMahon said, look, I can make more money. Well, UFC had came about, so a lot of wrestling fans were going to UFC because they thought that was real. But he's like, well, I can make more money catering to the kids because not only am I selling one ticket, but the parents, if they, the kid come, their parents got to take it, so that's two tickets.
Exactly,
so,
exactly.
You know, but unfortunately, the women, while they, you know, they still had beautiful women, but they was just in wrestling matches, and a lot of times they was just having models turned in, you know, models who they trained how to wrestle, and they would go out there for 5 minutes. And if you wanted to see, like, the real good women's wrestlers, you had to watch it on the independent circuit. So it's great to see, but unfortunately for me, I just look at this year's WrestleMania as bad as I wanted to see the women's main event. With things going on with this guy called Kofi Kingston right about now, he's got hot and caught steam at the right time and has so much momentum behind him that I just think it's better closing the show with him, because at the end of WrestleMania, it's like the Super Bowl. You want that feel-good moment, and I think Kofi Kingston will give that feel-good moment if he becomes WWE champion. He'll also become the first full black WWE champion. Now, as of now, he's not in the match, but watching wrestling as long as I've been, I'm almost certain he will be in the match.
Right. So let me ask you this, because you do bring up a good point getting into Kofi Kingston. He is from Ghana. He's fully black. He's Ghanaian American, excuse me. And as you mentioned, would become the first all-black wrestler. I mean, obviously there have been black wrestlers that have won the world championship, and The Rock being that he is partly black too. You know, it's not like he's the first black wrestler to be well known in wrestling. But between what Kofi Kingston is doing and the women, even for as annoying as Ronda Rousey might be to you, her and Becky Lynch, they are getting people talking about wrestling. I mean, it has been a trending topic on specifically Twitter for a while now. It's the Twitter beef between them going back months now has been something people have been, whether they are a wrestling fan or not, have been keeping an eye on, because it's exciting. This is what people love to see. They love to see that reality TV feel of fighting, whether we know it's scripted or we don't know it's scripted or don't think it's scripted. Everyone loves to see the feuds and the beef. So do you feel like the right now wrestling is at a point between Kofi being the possible first all-black WWE superstar to win a championship, a WWE championship, and the women headlining WrestleMania? Are we seeing a twist and a shift to more diversity in wrestling, in your opinion?
Sort of. So I guess there is a lot of diversity. There is diversity. If you look at NXT on Black History Month, we saw a lot of, there was about 10, 15 black superstars who all posted a picture. A lot of the arguments I get into with my friends, they'll say, how come, you know, we can make excuses? Because I wrote an article on my website a few years ago. Every black wrestler that people thought should have been WWE champion, I had an argument to counter why they wasn't. And my friend Terrence, who always says, yeah, but we hold black wrestlers to a higher standard, why aren't we holding the white wrestlers to that same standard? We can say, oh, they got the championship because of this. But it's weird because it's not that they're not being held to a higher standard. Well, they are. We know you got to work twice as hard. Let's just call it for what it is. But, you know, looking at the way the business is going, and Vince McMahon, I always believe, hears what the audience is saying. I mean, WWE is a $1 billion
company. He does a good job of that.
Yeah, so they have people saying stuff, or they have people somewhere around the line telling people, hey, man, this is what people are saying. So I'm pretty sure he's heard the talk of Vince McMahon doesn't want a black WWE champion. And then Kofi Kingston, they put him in a match. He was actually substituting for a guy. He got and the guy who's actually I think Mustafa Ali may have some Muslim descent. I'm not 100% sure. But they put him in the match because Mustafa Ali got hurt. And Kofi Kingston, he wrestled over an hour. But it was like when you watched that match, you just felt a sudden shift that you had been waiting for him to get and that momentum for him to get for years. But he finally got it. And when he did, that's when people said, oh, we got to get behind this guy. So then you started worrying, like, okay, is this just a flash in the pan? But it really wasn't. Like, people were really staying behind him, and they are now. And that's when I think he is open, breaking barriers, because we are seeing that this black guy doesn't have to be necessarily a thug or a gangbanger, have that type of character to be successful.
That's the other thing. Okay, so that was, I guess, more along in terms of diversity. When I was growing up, and I remember the black wrestlers like Booker T and Mark Henry, and they had that big personality of being just like a big guy, you know. And then there were the guys like, I mean, fast forward a few years, you had guys like Randy Orton and The Miz and John Cena that were more like the muscular, pretty guys, I guess you can say. Mm-hmm. Not the big, like, Mark Henry is a huge, he's a big man. You know, Booker T was a big man with his braids flowing and everything, whereas Kofi Kingston does have that, like, of course, every wrestler is muscular and big. So when I say big, you know what I mean. Like, are extremely 400-pound guys. But he's someone that is a different type of black wrestler, if that makes sense. So are we seeing a shift in that sense? I mean, The Rock was always someone that was, you know, had that more charisma and personality as a wrestler too, not just out there. And his big characteristic was that he was just bigger than everyone. You know, he had the whole package. I think Kofi Kingston, from what I'm seeing anyways, is someone that has the whole package. He's not just your traditional big, scary, in a sense, wrestler, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, well, you know, he's definitely different because, one, his gimmick, he's always been like a high flyer type. And generally the high flyers, with the exception of a few, don't really become world champions or WWE champions.
Right.
He started being looked at as a good hand. Somebody who, okay, we know he'll go out there and put on a great match. If we're trying to get another character over, we'll put him in a match with Kofi Kingston because that's his role. Make sure to show that this guy can work. But I do think that he's definitely changing, but it's also been, we're in a different wave in wrestling right now where about 10 years ago, everybody had to be at least 6'4", 250 pounds to be WWE champion. You know, and I'm sort of exaggerating, but about 2012 was when a guy named CM Punk, who was a smaller guy, I believe he was under 6 feet, under 250 pounds, became the champ, and we started seeing more guys like Daniel Bryan, about 5'8", and he's the WWE champion.
Yeah.
You know, so while Kofi's bigger than him, he's not necessarily like one of the bigger guys. So that's one of the things that I think is really good.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there's a lot of exciting things going on around WWE, as always. I don't think it gets a great viewership and because of the fact that it is so entertaining. You know, you can, as we talked about with baseball, you can really connect with a wrestler in a certain way and look up to them and idolize them, whether it's, you know, R-Truth or it's Hulk Hogan back in the day. Like, whoever it is, there's someone that they have their own signature branding and trademarks that make them unique, that really can allow kids at a young age to connect with them and parents to connect and just really enjoy watching wrestling. So let's get into, since unfortunately we can't talk about wrestling all day or baseball all day, we've got more sports to get into. Let's get into the NBA. You and I are both Lakers fans for different reasons, of course. I'm just going to put that out there. Me being a LeBron James fan, I am Team LeBron, so he's on the Lakers, which means I am Team Lakers. You being a Kobe fan and a fan of the old school Shaq Kobe days of the Lakers when they were beating up on the Sixers and everyone else back in the early 2000s. They're not in the playoffs, but what are your thoughts on the NBA playoff picture moving forward? We saw the Nuggets have clinched a spot into the playoffs. You know, we're seeing the standings are sort of ironing out as teams are punching their ticket to the postseason. And both conferences are really competitive. I mean, of course, the West being way stronger than the East, but still both exciting on the East and the West. What are your thoughts on the NBA playoffs?
Oh, man, this is – I'm not really excited for it, to be honest with you. it's just, first of all, we're going to have the NBA playoffs with no LeBron James. And
you have to just say that.
Well, it's because of the injury. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. Like, with LeBron going down, and then Lonzo and Rondo and Kuzma.
Brandon Ingram went down.
You're like, how are you supposed to win that way? And I understand there's the talks about the Anthony Davis trade, which I still believe the New Orleans Pelicans are very petty for that one. And I think they will not prosper. But I'm just not looking forward to it. I just feel that it's going to be the Warriors. They're going to win it all. I really hope Kevin Durant moves on. I respect, yes, he had the right to do what he wanted to do. But if anything, Kevin Durant ruined NBA 2K for years 2K16 through 2K19 because when he joined that team, or 2K17, I should say, when he joined that team, everybody was going to pick the Warriors. And everybody was going to, you know, make sure that it was going to be hard to beat. And it's just not fun to me. The East is going to be fun to watch because we don't know who's coming out. Last year, or the past 8 years, we knew LeBron James' team was coming out. But there was still a hint of doubt. You know, I go back to the first year when he returned to Cleveland. I actually thought the Bulls were going to come out that year. I thought the Bulls looked very good. I thought that, you know, it's probably the last great year Derrick Rose had in Chicago.
Right.
This is when he was, like, finally healthy again. You had him. Jimmy Butler was coming. So I thought that, okay, yeah, you know, Bulls are going to go to the championship. That didn't happen. But even, you know, with the Heat all 4 years, we kind of knew Indiana had their run and looked like they were going to dethrone the Heat, but they didn't. So I'm excited about to see what the Eastern Conference does, but the West, unless somebody takes out the Warriors, I won't be excited. I'm happy Kevin Durant got his 2 rings. Now I'm ready to see somebody else get a ring.
I hear that.
I'm really pulling for OKC, though. Sorry.
Okay, that's really – so you bring up, again, a few good points. First of all, this is the first time that we are seeing an NBA playoff. I know it's dating back to when I was in high school without LeBron James, and it is very weird because you just – like, for me as a LeBron fan, I clearly just don't know who to root for. But in general, for the league and for basketball, it's weird not to have one of the greatest players of all time not in the playoffs. It was like when the Lakers didn't make the playoffs back when Kobe was still playing. It was weird not seeing Kobe in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just injuries with his injury, with 6 guys being put up for the trade with Anthony Davis that fell through, and then Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball's injury, there was no way they were going to make the playoffs. But moving forward, out of the West, I do hope that, and looking at, if things were to play out the way they are as of today, of course, there's still some teams have anywhere from 10 to 12 games left, and we have a little under a month until playoffs start. As of today, the Golden State Warriors, what I love about the playoff picture currently is that they could face OKC in the Western Conference semis, and they could face the Rockets or Nuggets. I don't see the Nuggets beating the Rockets, but it's playoffs. You never know. The Rockets could be facing the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, and then whoever comes out of the East, of course, they would play. So my whole thing is, if the Warriors do win, which looks very likely, and I've been saying that from day one, I'm a hater of the Warriors because I'm tired of them winning because there's just no excitement. There's no suspense. You know who's going to win.
Exactly.
Like last year when they swept LeBron and the Cavs, there was no – after game one, that was the only game – that seemed like there was a chance that the Cavs could win. J.R. Smith, of course, had his huge fumble at the end in the final seconds that could have helped them win that game. Still bitter about that. But anyways, there was just never any chance that you thought that they weren't going to win that series or win the entire, the final. So it's the same thing this year, you know, and everyone, they've lost 20-something games, but that doesn't mean anything because they're not going to go to the regular season undefeated, but they are going to go to the playoffs and sweep people. So I just hope if the Warriors win, if nothing else, I need them to have at least three of their series go to 6 or 7 games. I don't want them to sweep teams. Like, that to me is just like, is, again, no excitement, no suspense. We want to see games that come down to the wire. We want to see, you know, the sudden death games of both, you know, the 3-3 series, who's going to win game 7. We need that excitement to make the playoffs fun. And that's something that has been missing in terms of the Warriors being able to just dominate teams in the postseason. On the East, I have no idea, because as of now, we do have the Bucks, Raptors, and Sixers are in. But not really sure what to expect of them. I mean, who do you think out of the group that's in the East? I mean, right now, along with those three, we've got the Pacers, who look really strong, even though Victor Oladipo is out. It's crazy to think what they would look like if he was still playing. The Celtics, the Pistons, the Nets, with our boy Russell leading the way, D'Angelo Russell leading the way, who Magic thought was not good enough for the Lakers, and then D-Wade in the Heat as the number 8 right now, as of today at least, as of Wednesday, because this is not Thursday that we're shooting this. So who's your top teams coming out of, I'll give you two. Who's your top two coming out of the East?
Oh, man, that's difficult. I'm really, I got to go with Toronto. I think, excuse me, I think when you add Kawhi Leonard to that team, as much as DeRozan and Lowry didn't want to break up, it was probably the best for him. So I think Kawhi on that team really gets them over the hump. So, you know, he's fresh. He didn't play at all last year. So, didn't play, that many games. So I think, you know, I think the Raptors, and I really want to say the Bucks. I just like them. I think Giannis is on a mission. So I think it's going to be one of them two.
Yeah, I definitely don't think the Celtics are consistent enough. The Pacers have been having a good season, but again, without Victor Oladipo, I don't think they have a chance of, you know, making it past their first round matchup, which could be the Celtics. Sixers, just to me, it's a coaching issue with Brett Brown. No disrespect, no offense, but all offense. And the fact that I don't think he's a good coach in crunch time, you know, when the game's down to the wire, he doesn't do well with game management. And we've seen that time and time again, I mean, including their loss in the series to the Celtics last season. So it has to, I mean, in the playoffs, with the super teams that we have in the league, you have to have a strong coach, a clutch go-to player down the stretch that can hit that game-winning shot or a big basket when you need it. And you need to have some sort of eight-nine-man rotation. You know, you're not subbing a lot, but you need to be strong all the way through. And I think that's what the Bucks and the Raptors have, and that's what I hope OKC can do to Golden State to knock them off. And the Rockets, if Chris Paul can stay healthy and James Harden can make sure he's bringing that 30 points a game average, but helping them to win with that 30 points a game average, because he does also get into modes where he's scoring and no one else is, I think they can also beat the Warriors. So I don't know. I'm nervous. I'm excited, but I just hope it's exciting, most importantly.
And I'm not necessarily like a Rockets fan, but I don't hate the Warriors. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an anybody but New England Patriots type of person. The Warriors, I don't hate them.
Okay.
I don't think there's any basketball teams I really hate. But I just want to see something different. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. I am fully a fan of Steph Curry. I love what he does on and off the court. Kevin Durant, I'm a little iffy on right now, actually, ever since he came over to Golden State. I still don't fully, I know why he did it. He got 2 championships out of it. I get it. You know, you play a sport, you want to win championships. But I still don't like the way that it went down and how he's, in my opinion, changed since he's been on the Warriors. Don't really like Draymond Green, but that's his character.
Really? And, I love Draymond.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
I've always loved this since day one.
I will tell you why.
Uh-oh.
He is one of the biggest Warriors that's always in LeBron's face. And to me, so I take that personally. Like,
that's WWE, right? That's WWE. You've seen those shops, you know.
No, because you know what? Lance Stevenson was in that same. There's a few guys in the league. Lance Stevenson was in that same category, but now he's teammates with LeBron, so we're cool. But I didn't like him for the longest time when he was with the Pacers and he was blowing air into LeBron's ear and all this other foolishness. I get it. You're a competitor, but that's the GOAT. You know, you don't step on the soccer field and do that to Messi or Ronaldo, so don't do that to LeBron in the NBA.
but and I understand and respect that. You know, with Draymond's just, he's that guy. You know, Draymond's
a good
teammate.
He's that guy that I don't like to see do well, but he does well. He's a great player. But I don't want him to be a good player.
Oh, wow.
I'm just being honest here.
Nah, I like
the Warriors. I like the Warriors. I think they're, you know, they are exciting to a certain extent because the fact that they're able to put up the numbers they do, the fact they have 5 All-Stars on their team, and they have so much talent, so it's almost like you are watching a super team. You know, that does appeal to a large audience. For me, as a basketball fan, I want games that are down to the final seconds. I want games that you don't know who's going to win. Not every time a team steps on the court, you know it's going to be the Warriors.
Exactly.
So, all right. So I'll ask you one last quick question before we wrap it up. If you had to pick today, as of this, well, it is March 20th.
Mm-hmm.
By the time this airs, it'll be the 21st. Who do you think has the ability to knock off the Warriors? And out of the Bucks and Raptors, who comes out of the East? Or is there no one that can knock off the Warriors and you still have them winning in the West?
I'm going to go with OKC. I think Paul George and Russell Westbrook will get that dog in them,
mm-hmm.
that they could do it. But I also think we're going to see some dissemination somewhere down the line between Boogie, KD, and Draymond.
I've been waiting for it. I've been waiting for it. I got my popcorn ready.
or I hate to say it, you know, it could be injuries also. Because 5 finals, we can't act like Kevin Durant and Steph Curry got the best leg now.
That's true. So then who's coming out of the East between the Bucks and the Raptors? What's your final choice?
I got to go with the Raptors because of experience. Kawhi is going to get them boys rallied, and he'll be the one to, you know, get to the finals. Because he's coming with a point to prove. You don't think he want to face the Spurs in the finals?
Right.
But, you know, he's
right.
coming with a point to prove.
I mean, you cannot underestimate the Claw. We saw what he was able to do against the Warriors in that series where he went down on an ankle injury. That was still questionable to this day when he landed on, foot. And he was almost carrying the Spurs at the time past the Warriors in that game, in game
mm-hmm.
game one. And here we are now with the Raptors. He's got a great group around him with players like Danny Green and Serge Ibaka. So I think he definitely has the and even bringing Marcus Gasol in was huge this year. I think they have a team that's capable of really making some noise and not only winning the East, but whoever they face in the West, making that a good series too.
Mm-hmm.
And then my hope is Paul George, who's been playing out of his mind. I'm so happy to see how well he's playing. Seems
Especially with that gruesome injury.
Yes, exactly. To see how he's come back and he's playing his amazing basketball right now and even better than how he was playing before he was hurt.
Well, I didn't like him for the first 2 months. because I was salty. I remember going to bed that night and when it was, you know, all that morning and I looked at my phone. And at first I saw a tweet, Paul George expects you to stay. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I hope these reporters are wrong. And then the Instagram video came out, him and Russ at the club. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I remember going a bit angry. Like, I don't believe this. We didn't get Paul George. He wouldn't even grant us a meeting. But then 24 hours later, actually probably about a good 19 hours later, everything would change. And LeBron James announced that he's coming to L.A.
I was going to say, you got the better player.
Exactly.
We came to L.A. Me and Bron Bron came to L.A. That's better than PG-13.
That's true. You know, we're glad to have you, you know. And then LeBron retires. He's going to leave you a Lakers jersey right there. So you'll remain a Laker forever.
We'll be right there at the Staples Center.
Mm-hmm.
Make it happen, Magic. All right, so I like Paul George. I do wish he went to the Lakers now that LeBron's on the Lakers, but there's no way they would have been able to have both of them on the team. So that wouldn't have happened financially. But, Brian, again, never enough time on this show. I feel like time just flies as you start getting into talking about sports. We got into baseball, wrestling, and basketball, so that's a lot for listeners. Where can they find you on social media to keep up with all that you're doing?
Well, very easy to find. Just search Brian H. Waters. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and also at Wrestling Realm. Realm spelled with WREALM. You can find me there, just talking wrestling.
Wrestling. I like it. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining us on the Sports Wrap and allowing us to really get into some topics we don't normally get into, especially getting into the WWE as we prepare for WrestleMania, getting into Mike Trout, and, of course, our Lakers and the NBA. So thank you so much for joining us on the show this week.
Thank you.
All right. That is Brian Waters. Thank you so much for joining us. Host of Break It Down with Brian H., brought to you by The Wrestling Realm. And, of course, you can follow him at Brian H. Waters on all social media. And it is officially halftime, guys. I hope you're still with me. This is a long episode because we have so much to talk about this week. So during this halftime break, let me just remind you to follow me on all social media. I am at Renee P. Wash, P as in pink, Wash, because my full name does not fit on Twitter. And across all other social media pages, I am at Renee P. Washington. So thank you. You are listening to the Sports Wrap. And next we have New Breed Nye, so we can get to know the man behind the music, Nye Rick Evans. Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready to find out who he really is besides just a rapper? All right. I think I've kept you waiting long enough. Let's do this.
All right, this week, guys, we have a special guest for you. Normally, you hear him at the close of the show, dropping one of his latest singles from his project or his album. But now we're going to get to know New Breed Nye from Atlanta, Georgia, also known as Nyrick Evans. New Breed Nye is your stage name, of course. Welcome, Nyrick, to the show.
What's going on? What's up, Miss Renee?
Thank you for joining us. Everyone gets to hear you sing each week, but let's get to know you. I mean, you're a musician, you're a producer, you also are an actor, former basketball player. There's a lot more to you besides just your music. So first thing first, I mean, what's going on in your music world right now? What projects are you working on? What's new for you?
Well, right now, the project, everybody will follow my social media, you'll see everything right now is Somebody by My Future Wife. So that's the latest project I just put out. And it's a perspective album. Not really out there crying for or on the prowl, but you know, something happens along the way. I'm not gonna be mad at it, but
I love it.
So yeah, something happens along the way. I'm not gonna be mad, but definitely, yeah, that's what I'm working right now. And just dropped another single on top of that called Quick Update, just to keep my supporters and everybody engaged for the most part. So musically and just working on a couple shows lined up, college events this month and next month, and then hopefully a little mini tour to pop the summer off. So yeah, that's what's going on musically.
Very nice. Definitely keeping busy for sure. And I mean, what do you really try to talk, like, in your music? I feel like every musician has a message that they're trying to speak on each time.
Right.
I'm not the best message, whatever, but I mean, is love and things like that, is that more what you try to sing and rap about in your music?
I guess you could say that, but just I guess more just substance on a variety of different areas of life. But for this particular project, like Somebody Find My Future Wife, then, yeah, I want to touch on those particular subjects that, you know, when I find that person, I want her to be like this and I want her to receive me like that, so yeah, but for the most part, to broaden it, it's just all my music, you can definitely expect substance and relatable content.
Relatable content, I like that. I like that. Now, as I mentioned, you are more than just a musician. You're not just a rapper. You're out here, you're grinding, and you also have been acting. So for any of you guys that do not know, Nyrick Evans made an appearance in Uncle Drew, the Uncle Drew with Kyrie Irving. I actually still haven't seen it. I'm ashamed to say that, but I just...
You got to go check that out.
I'm sorry. When it came out, I was literally going to watch it because I wanted to see where you were.
Right.
And Tiffany Haddish is in it, and I was so excited to see it. And then I just got busy because life is busy, and I still have yet to watch. I'm so ashamed. But that was kind of, you're blowing up a little bit. You're now in two movies right now.
Right.
That you're working on.
Yeah.
Two more movies, as you said. What? Can you tell us what you're doing? Or is it still a secret?
Tell you about the Uncle Drew, how the Uncle Drew thing happened, or just go from there?
Well, I want to hear about the two new ones, but you can start with Uncle Drew.
So, Uncle Drew, long story short, was able to get a call about they needed basketball players or whatever like that to try out that played, college level or overseas or even former NBA players. So I got that call and was able to go try out, made the whole selection. Ended up on set, the directors, they kind of like fell in love with my personality or whatever and offered me like more days to be a part of the movie and be a part of more scenes. And so that's how I was able to build a connection with Tiffany Haddish and Lil Rel and, of course, like my bro, like now my bro, Aaron Gordon. So, that's really cool. Yeah, AG. So, I have a crush on
Aaron Gordon that I am not afraid to admit, so that's
big
cool.
Big time. And I know you did say that.
So, yep, it's okay. I'm over him.
But since then, I know, like, those relationships are, like, still really, really genuine. Like, AG, every time, like, literally maybe 2-3 weeks ago when the Orlando Magic played the Hawks, he hit me like, yo, bro, got tickets, come to the game. I was able to bring my nephew to his first NBA game and all that type of stuff. So that's really cool. So that movie alone had presented a lot more opportunities. And so the two new films, one I actually started shooting this weekend. It's a short film entitled The Booth. So I think it's just an independent film, something that, I'm not really sure how the budget or whatever, but it's more of an independent film. And so basically, based on the scripts that I was reading, it's based on a DJ, two DJs or whatever that kind of fall in love or something like that while they're in the booth or at a club particular scene. But I come in as the main artist that's performing and doing all sorts of things within the club environment. And they allow me to play myself. So I'm actually getting to play New Breed, not in it.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So, not only, I love that because not only are you going to be acting, which in itself is a great experience because you never know what that could lead to, as we saw with your Uncle Drew, starring role, I should say.
Right.
But now you also get to promote yourself as a musician.
Right.
That's what's up. Wow.
Yeah. So it definitely works. It definitely works out. And it's crazy how, like, because I promise you, like, I never even, since this day, it's not like I'm doing acting classes or anything. Like, these are just kind of situations that's like, wow, like, okay, like, I'm working and kind of put myself in position. And it happens. It's kind of one of those things happening.
Actually did take drama classes, and so like I like to consider myself as a pretty good actress. So, I feel like part of being able to be on camera and turn on a personality is acting. But I really did take drama classes. I did the whole improv. Like I got it. So if you ever are in a position where they maybe need their casting, who to call.
I'm
standing here on the sports wrap.
That's definite, of course.
All right, and then you also touched on the fact that when you got the Uncle Drew role, part of what they were looking for were former basketball players or even current basketball players because you did have to play basketball in your scene.
But that's something that a lot of people might not realize when they hear your music or where they see you on social media and everything is, before you were a rapper, New Breed Nye, you also played college basketball. And, you know, growing up playing basketball with players that to this day are still playing, including some that are on Florida State in the NCAA tournament. We know it's March Madness time. Yeah. So do you have a – I know you've been paying attention to March Madness. It's such an exciting time of year. Do you have a favorite a team? Is it Florida State since you know
definitely going with Florida State. And, like I said, I got a ride with my bros. Chris and my boy Phil Coker, that's the guys right now, and so especially my boy Phil. So we played after some of the same AAU team Georgia Elite, and he's a special talent, man. And you know, it's exciting just to watch him and to watch that team. Really, they've had a really great. They came up short against Duke, but they've really had a great season. And it's really exciting just to watch him play and develop. So,
yeah, and they're a top team. They were a top team in the ACC. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, we saw them drop that top loss with Duke obviously being no slouch as the number one seed behind Zion Williamson, who is a monster. But more importantly, you now have FSU is in the same bracket in the West, facing Vermont in the first round, which, I mean, it's March Madness, though, so I don't ever assume anybody's going to win.
Right.
So they should win that as the number four seed in that division, but you never know. But they are in a tough division with teams like Gonzaga and Baylor, Texas Tech, and another one, Michigan, of course. So you see them making it pretty far.
Hopefully.
I mean, they have potential, especially after they start during the regular season.
Yeah, they do. And I think they did the Elite Eight last year, or the Final Four, one of them. They got knocked out in the Elite Eight. But I also got a shout-out to the mid-major. Georgia State is definitely in there as well. So I think they play Houston for the first round. So, yeah, they in there as well.
Yep.
It's exciting. But, you know, I just think back to what was that year? Maybe about 4 or 5 years ago when Mercer – because Mercer's in Georgia.
I remember that.
When they played Duke, and then they upset Duke the first round. It was crazy. Like,
yes.
Yeah, so I'm like, the bracket game is really crazy. So you just never know.
I still remember that game like it was yesterday, because that would have been my senior year in college. I'm aging myself a little bit. But that was like, it was just unreal. That is March Madness, though. That's the excitement of it all. I mean, you have the – talk about bracket busters and upsets and Cinderella teams and all that stuff that goes into it. I mean, that was a number 14 seed knocking off a number 13, and Duke, who was expected to go far, to lose that game.
That's what's important to see, too, because it's like you don't know the teams really that you play in, and, you know – people talk a lot about talent, but I think the thing that goes overlooked a lot is just matchups, like different teams that present different matchup problems, and you know that eventually gives the edge, I think, to a lot of teams.
Yeah, so that's a good part of it. I mean, at this point, once you get to March Madness, it's single game elimination. It's win or go home. These are teams that are fighting to keep their season going another game, and standing. You know, preseason polls and stuff like that, none of that matters, because at the end of the day, it's two teams on the court, and that's it. It's all settled there. You know, there's nothing else that goes into it. But whoever wins on that day is moving on.
Right.
So do you fill out a bracket?
I haven't filled out one yet, but I definitely need to, because I've seen the reward money.
Yes. Yes. Well, by the time this show airs on Thursday, we will be getting into the first round of games.
Right.
And I know I'm interested in seeing who is going to make it past the first round. March Madness reminds me of the Hunger Games. I don't know if you ever saw those movies, but where it's kind of like this survival of the fittest, see who's standing at the end. Like, it's just all out war, basically, because it's just so exciting. And even things like, I love the memes that go around it. You know, every year we have a different band from the school or a different fan that's caught crying when their team loses, and they just become a gift for the next, like, year.
Yeah. I got a question for you.
Oh, you're asking the question.
Yeah, I got a question for you.
Who is asking the question?
Okay, it just popped into my head. So, like, with all the buzz and stuff going around, like March Madness and stuff, like, how do you feel about, like, the players, like, let's just use Zion Williamson, like, that the these media outlets and everything make money off the players to build all the buzz, but the players and stuff don't really get paid around this time and stuff like that. I just want to know, because I know you deep into it, so I love
that you took the topic and just turned it. To make it your own topic, so you can ask the question. So now you're a rapper, actor, former college basketball player slash reporter.
I love it.
Okay. This is not a sports rap with Naira Gevin. No, I think this time of year, here you see it, but this time of the year, and same thing in football, once you get to the championships and the bowls, I should say, you really see just how much money people are making off of these college athletes. I mean, these guys are bringing in – let's take a step back. Look at the amount of celebrities and NBA players, NFL players go to these games. Look at the amount of donations that alumni are making, you know, to go to keep Duke basketball running, to keep UNC basketball, whatever program that they're supporting. Mm-hmm. Ching. I mean, these players are bringing in, not to mention jersey sales, ticket sales, all the money that goes into the people that want to watch. People are literally camping out at these colleges to go and to be able to get in to watch games. They draw more than some pro teams do, you know?
Right.
So it is, to me, it's hard because you bring up Zion Williamson. He's someone that once he went down against UNC in the regular season, when his shoe broke, people were saying, well, dang, if he's done, that's it. He will go from being the number one overall pick to being a bust, to being someone that never amounts to what he could have been in the league. He would still make good money. But meanwhile, Duke would have made their money off of him and some extra, and he wouldn't even have anything to show for it. So that, to me, is what's the hardest thing. If these players don't make it, they also get into how long should they stay in college before they go into pro. Should they 1 year, 2 years, whatever. The longer they stay in college, that's another year of not making guaranteed money and making money for the school. So I don't know the answer. I don't think there's a clean answer as to what the players should make, because, of course, every program brings in a different amount of money. If you're at a Duke, if you're at, you know, a big Virginia, big schools like that are drawing in higher amounts of donations, ticket sales, fans, you know, jersey sales, your amount would be different than someone at a no-name school. So I don't know how you regulate that. I don't know how you balance that. And that's why I think the NCAA is just staying away from it altogether. But, I mean, you and I both know, having played college sports, that athletes, they still find a way to work around it, to pay athletes.
Right.
Them, you know, to get them into their school. And I know you see this coming out more and more on different degrees, whether it's financial, whether it's Louisville with what we saw with the men's basketball program a couple years back. It's messy. So I don't know. I think that's part of the problem. They should get paid, but there's no clean way to figure out how to pay them.
Yeah. I just know, like, from my experience, like, we would get stipends, like, you know, here and there for, like, food, like, when school went on break and stuff like that. And, you know, the cafeteria and stuff was shut down. Then our coach, you know, he would give us stipends, like, little cash here and there, but I think, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Like,
some programs that give stipends, they'll give stipends and they'll be like hundreds of dollars for, oh, we're going away, we're taking, you know, we have an away game, but I'm going to give you $300 for food. Like, even though that's not how much money you
need,
if you're on an away trip, you know, that's not how much meal money that you need, but they still find ways to work around it. So that's why I think that where the issue really is, because there's no clean way to do it, because there's always someone that goes too far, and they'll be paying players, you know, I don't know, four or five figures when they compared to someone else, other programs, I should say, that aren't. So I don't know. I don't know if it'll ever be resolved, but that's what I think. For the amount of hours these players put into it, the amount of work that goes into, they are a professional athlete playing college sports. Zion Williamson is one of the biggest players in basketball right now, but he's
a freshman. Right. He's the biggest face of basketball. Like,
I don't know how many times you watch an NBA game and they're talking about Zion.
Yeah, every game. Every game.
Every game, it seems like. Every game. Everyone's talking about across all sports, across all levels. Zion Williamson is one of the biggest athletes right now, and he's a college basketball player. College freshman.
Basketball.
So
basketball,
that's where it's like, I don't know. I have no idea where the – do they get, like, a lawyer, or does everybody have an agent? Like, I have no idea how that works, but something's got to give.
Something does got to give.
Yeah. Well, Nyrek, thanks for flipping the script.
My bad. It was like the perfect segue.
It's a great question. And it really makes you think, because if a college athlete, I mean, now with players having to play at least a year in college for basketball specifically, football, we tend to see them stay in college for, longer, 2-3 years, if not the full 4. But if they get injured, that immediately changes their rating in their ranking coming out of college for the draft. So now what? Again, you go from being a top pick to being a second round pick to being a third round pick. Now the money you're making, the guaranteed money you're making, changes as well. So who knows? Maybe one day we'll have it figured out.
Right.
But in the meantime, you will still be working on all things, music, acting, apparently now recording. So tell everyone where they can find you on social media if they are not listening when I tell them every week on the Sports Wrap. Where can we find you, and how can we follow you, see what's going on?
You can find me on everything, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, everything New Breed and I. That's N-E-W-B-R-E-E-D-N-Y-E. Follow me. I'll follow you back. I post pretty cool content. I'm regular.
And you've got a song for us with Sports Rap today, right?
Yeah, I do. I do. Hold up, I do.
I wish this wasn't a podcast, because this would be the perfect time. Like how on like Wildin' Out or something, how they're like, all right, well now New Breed and I take over, and you just hand you the mic, you do your thing.
Right.
Like, yes, you'll have a show for us this week, of course.
Right.
Oh man. All right, well, you guys got to hear from New Breed and I, and then shortly you'll get to hear his music too. Of course, we have to make sure that we close out the show with another banger. So, Nyrek Evans, thank you so much for all that you have been doing to bring us music. I've had people that have been telling me they love listening to your music at the close of the show. So, thank you for being a part of the Sports Wrap. And, of course, for those of you that don't know, which is Nyrek and myself, we also have something special for you moving forward with the Sports Wrap. So, as you heard in this episode and moving forward, you'll get to hear him and me with my auto-tuned voice. I should have just said it. It's the Sports Wrap with Renee Washington. Sports Wrap.
I definitely threw that auto-tune on there, too.
Definitely auto-tuned.
I definitely threw that.
I know how T-Pain feels. So, yes, that was New Breed Nye's work that you heard at the beginning of the show. And he will be closing out the show. So now you get New Breed Nye, Nyrek Evans from out of Atlanta, Georgia, from the top to the end of every episode of the Sports Wrap. So, bam. Thank you. This is the Sports Wrap. All right, Nyrek, thank you so much. We can talk forever, but I appreciate you joining me on the show. And allowing our listeners a chance to get to know you, what you're about, and all the amazing things that you have up your sleeves for the future. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Anytime, anytime.
I need that in my life. I need you in my life.
Somebody buy my
person.
Speakers strain.
Yeah.
Speakers strain.
I just found out you was worthy.
Oh, God.
Don't freak me out. Girl, I get nervous. I like that bag, cause you say Birkin. And you so perfect, girl. You so perfect. You so perfect. You so perfect. And you deserve it, girl. You deserve it. Okay? You are so perfect, I drop to my knees every day and say thank you. I look the sky every day and say thank God for sending New Breed a little angel. You are the one that I need.
keys. I'm at the top, it's no sleaze. Oh, yes, and they can breathe. I cannot rave enough about you. Feeling like Usher, start moving mountains. Now I'm in my bag and I can't do this life without you. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have you by my side. If we gonna do it, then it's like this, hope we do it live.
Told me, woe me, real smooth life. Told me, woe me, real smooth life. Told me, walk with me, real smooth life. Told me, walk with me, real smooth life. When I have questions, girl, you have the answers. When I get to winning, girl, you hang my banner. When I'm talking crazy, you stay with my manners. You know I'm a crazy little bastard. When I'm feeling down and I pick you up, that's okay. I love to kiss on you when I keep it on your face. Baby, you a real one, can't no chick take your place. Baby, you a real one, your nickname is my first place. Told me, walk with me, real smooth like. Told me, walk with me, real smooth like. Told me, walk with me, real smooth. Told me you walk with me real smooth like.
Perfect. Hey, and that's a wrap. Thank you all so much for listening in on another episode of the Sports Wrap here. Of course, you can listen in every single Thursday across 108 different platforms, iTunes, Spotify. You know all 108. Yes, you do. Of course you do. Yes. Just nod and say yes, you do. But thank you for listening in. We had Brian Waters at the top of the show. We had New Breed Nye closing out the show with some background information on who he is as Nyrick Evans. And, of course, with some music to end the show. So, thank you all for listening. Until next time, stay focused, stay blessed, stay positive. Keep grinding towards whatever it is you're working to achieve. And I look forward to talking with you more on the next episode of the Sports Wrap as we get into the latest sports news from the court to the field and everything in between. You know the drill. I'm Renee Washington, your host here, and I look forward to talking to you more next time on the Sports Wrap.